chapter 20. And would you also find 2 Corinthians chapter 8? We'll start at Acts 20. This is our text for today, Acts 20, verse 24. And we'll later get to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where we'll do an expositional reading and study of about 11 verses. But we're going to have as a starting block Acts 20, verse 24. Thank you, ushers, for serving us. Look at Acts 20, verse 24. It says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." The line I want us to focus on today is in the middle of the verse. It says, "If only I may finish the race and complete the task." If only I may finish the race and complete the task. I want to talk to you today under the title, The Finish Line. I remember it well. It was Saturday, August 25th. Don and I pulled out of our driveway at 6 o'clock in the morning. We were heading to Rochester, Minnesota. We hoped to get in there that evening, have dinner with our son and his wife, the following day, worship with my older brother and his wife, see some of Donna's family, do some doctoring at the Mayo Clinic on Monday and Tuesday, and head back home. We were on 131, headed down towards Grand Rapids, and all of a sudden, my wife, who had had retina surgery just 2 days before, had a release of some more blood in her eye. We didn't know at that time what it was, and it was obviously serious. So we called the University of Michigan, and they said, "You better come over to the emergency room and let us see it." And so when we got to Grand Rapids, instead of taking a right, we took a left. And we went back to Ann Arbor, and we were about 3 hours in the emergency room there on that Saturday at the U of M. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the doctor cut us loose, and we said, "You know, we were in the process of traveling to Rochester, Minnesota. Do you think we can do that, or should we go home?" And he said, "I see why not." He said, "You're going to just basically be sitting in the car all day, and if anything happens when you get there, you're in the finest hands there are in America, so I don't see an issue with it." We looked at each other. I was not really happy about starting that trip at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you understand. And so I called the hotel ahead of time and said, "We will be getting in late. Don't give our room away." We walked in the hotel just before midnight, drove straight as fast as we could with one stop, well, maybe two. And we got in there, and we went to sleep right away, got up in the morning because we wanted to go to church with my older brother and his wife. They attend Autumn Ridge Church in Rochester, Minnesota. It's a large Baptist church. And we go there for two reasons. Number one, because my brother and his wife worship there. And number two, the pastor, Dr. John Steer, is in my estimation one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life. And every time I go there, I just sit and I just soak and I just take in and I walk out feeling so refreshed and encouraged as a pastor. I just walk out and say, "This was worth my time, and it was really, really good." Well, on that particular Sunday morning, we walked in August 26th, and I was given a magazine, kind of a monthly publication piece from the church. And it was really all about a building program that they had entered into in April of 2010. And it said everything, and it was all about that program, and it talked about the fact that they had a $4 million building project. They had a capital campaign of $3.4 million pledged towards it. They'd had to date $2.8 million come in towards the $3.4, which is 82%. However, they noticed that in recent weeks that their giving towards the building program had dropped about in half, from about $89,000 a month to about $45,000 a month. And so the pastor took time in the service to talk about that, and he said this. He said, in the next 15 months, we expect our giving to reach our goal and cover all of our obligations. However, the recent trend downward in giving has caused some concern. He then urged the congregation to review their commitments and stay on target. Now, I was a visitor, and I walked out of that service. I wasn't insulted. I wasn't upset. I thought he did it very appropriately, very right. It was an understanding statement and service in which they talked about that. And when we got in the car and we were pulling out of the parking lot, this is a large church. They probably have in three services, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 is my guess. And so we were in a traffic line, and we're gradually making our way out the driveway. And I said to my wife, I think I just heard the Lord speak to me. And she said, oh, really? You know, as if maybe that doesn't happen. I'm not for sure, you know. And and she said, what did he say? I said, the Lord very clearly said to me this morning that I am supposed to do this exact same thing with the people I pastor. She's so pragmatic about things. She just basically looked at me and said, well, if he told you to do that, then you better do that. End of conversation, you know. So that Sunday morning, driving out of Autumn Ridge Church in Rochester, Minnesota, I reluctantly said yes to the Lord. I would take a Sunday and I would talk to you about where we're at in our given structure in regards to our building program. And I say reluctantly for this reason. The moment the pastor takes a Sunday morning service and devotes it to a building project and a capital campaign, there will, as sure as the grass is green and snow is white, there will be visitors in the church that day or new attenders who will say, all he cares about is money. And all he wants to do is get into our pocketbook. Anybody who has worshipped here for any length of time knows that's not true. Knows that's absolutely not true. And in fact, I've tried my best in the last 2.5 years to lead this congregation through a building program where I didn't have to mention money every time we meet. That's been a goal of mine. So I was thinking about that. As I reluctantly said yes to the Lord, I would do what Dr. John Steer did. And the Lord reminded me, he said, Joel, don't you think that Moses had to talk to the people about funding before they built the tabernacle in Exodus 35? And yeah. Don't you think that David had to talk to the people about funding before he made a target or a goal to build the temple in 1 Chronicles 29? Yeah. Don't you think Joash had to talk to the people about funding when he was going to repair the tabernacle in 2 Kings 12? I said, yeah, I think so. So as I waited on the Lord took me to this passage of Scripture. You can just see it on the screen. You don't have to turn to it. It's Luke 14. Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? If he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. I ask you, what is the focal point of the verse? It's to finish. It's not to build, it's to finish. Very clearly, the word means to accomplish, to complete, to finish, or to end. Bring it to an end. There is nothing more as a laughing matter than someone who has a half-built house. We have one of those out Jefferson Avenue, a little farther out from where we live. Well, it's built now, but you can tell they ran out of money in the middle of the building because it's a very, very nice house on a beautiful piece of property. The weeds stand this tall around the house. There are sheets in the windows for curtains, and you know you can just tell. I don't know what happened. I'm not standing in judgment, but you just every time you look by it, drive by it, you're kind of looking like, whoa, it's half baked. You understand? The first of three truths today. The Lord wants those who take on projects to have a reasonable understanding of the cost and then stand firm in their commitment to the completion of the project. And before we get to our text today, I want to take a moment to give you a photo snapshot of our progress in our building structure. And this is really, really important to this congregation for this reason. We could all be fooled into thinking it's all done. I mean, we've been in it for a year and a half. We've been enjoying the space with classes on Wednesday night. We have preschoolers that are in there this morning. We meet every Monday in the conference room. The choir's been in their choir room for a season and a half. And we can think, the project's all done. No, the project's not done. We've been enjoying the fruit of our labors, but it's not done. You remember when we went into that project, I said this to this congregation. I said, it's easy to build them, it's hard to pay for them. And that's what I said going into this project. So let me give you a snapshot of where we've been. The cost of the project was $2.1 million. Well, they told us it was going to be $2.4 million. And so we were going to do it in phases, you remember. And the money came in at such a strong rate that we didn't have to do it in phases. We built it at the right time and built it the right way that actually the project was $2 million instead of $2.4 million. But then you all made it very, very clear in our business meeting that you wanted new restrooms, and that cost us $100,000. Thank you. But you got your new restrooms, okay? So the cost of the project was $2.1 million. We went into it with $700,000 from our facilities fund and our Waldo Road fund. The donor who gave over $300,000 to the Waldo Road project said to us, you can take my money and put it towards this. And we added to that, that was about $350,000, and we added another $350,000 that we had saved in our hip pocket. We had about $700,000, let's go. We then had a capital campaign, a three-year commitment of $1.5 million. Now, this is how it has transpired since then. We took a first fruits offering in May of 10, and that single offering was $400,000. You remember that day. A year later, we took a second fruits offering in May of 11, and it was $220,000. And this May, we took a third fruits offering, and it was $150,000. So a total in three offerings alone was $770,000. Beyond that, people just give every week, every two, every three, every month, whatever, just regularly you give. And that total in Sunday offerings has been $550,000. The average building fund offering in 2010 was $6,200, in 2011 was $3,600, and in 2012 was, so far, has been $3,200. As of November 1st, we have in towards the 1.32 million dollars, or a total of 88% of what has been pledged is already in. That's unheard of. You talk to people who are involved in raising funds, that is unheard of. We are in uncharted territory. Now, I know the question that can be asked is, okay, we have from 1.32 to 1.5, we have 180,000 still to go. It seems small now in relationship to where we've been. 180,000. And someone could ask the question, say, Pastor, do we need that 180,000 to pay off the mortgage? And I stand before you this morning to tell you no. Not all of it, just some of it. If the offerings are good in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, for the building fund, I am going to make a recommendation to the church board in the month of December that we pay off in full our mortgage by December 31st. Well, I think that would have been worth a shout and a clap and a hoot and a holler. That's phenomenal, folks. I keep my campaign promises, not that I'm running for anything. I told you that my first objective would be to pay off the mortgage. And I can't wait for the day we walk over to Wolverine and that $700,000 is zero. It's down to 175,000. That's why I say I think we can pull this off. Okay? Now, the church board feels, and I agree with them, that we should not stop the capital campaign when we have paid off the mortgage. And I want to tell you why. The church board feels it's very important that we replenish our facilities fund and we bring that balance back up, because our facilities fund now stands in the red. Just in this year, we have taken some real hits. These are capital improvements that we've had to do. We had no choice. You know, if you live out in the country, if you don't live in the country, you don't understand this. If you live in the country, it's like your septic system goes down. Guess what? You fix it. Whether you got the money or not, you fix it. Well, either that or you bring a portage on in. I don't know what. Okay. In this last year, our phone systems just literally died on us. And you understand, they're over 20 years old. They owe us nothing. We had to replace the phone system at 25. These screens that you're looking at right now, they became depleted and they were projecting poorly. We had to replace them. They affect us every Sunday morning at $9,000. Our air conditioning went down in the summertime. One of the units, $13,000. We had to take care of it. This fall, we had a note and a letter and some pictures from a neighbor along our south line here. And the neighbor wanted us to see what our fence looks like from his side. It was not a pretty sight. It was bent over. It was rotted. It was ugly. So we met as a board the next month, and we decided it's very important to us that we are good neighbors in this neighborhood. I didn't want to spend $20,000 on the fence. It looked fine from my side of the fence, but it looked horrible from... There's a whole message there, you know that? It looked horrible from the other side of the fence. I was so proud of our board. $20,000, do it and do it now and get it done. And inside of about 2-3 weeks, it was done. Now, I want you to understand something. All of these, $67,000, they're all paid for. I just don't like the way we did it. Because what we did was we took out of this pocket and put into this pocket. And in 1997, we were running the church that way, and we were getting ourselves in trouble. And we made a new position in 1997, that was a long time ago, that we wouldn't run the church that way. We have needed to just at the tail end here, but it's going to right itself real, real quick. I think we can all see that reaching our $1.5 million capital campaign commitment, it's not critical to the project. However, it is beneficial to positioning ourselves to handle future projects and also take care of the needs of an aging facility. We have some future projects in front of us, but we can't do them till we have the money to do them. Have you ever been downstairs recently and looked at the carpet in the fellowship hall? It's uglier than sin. It's the kind of flooring I picture in hell someday, okay? It's that bad. It's really bad. We need to take care of it. But we can't take care of it till we have the money to take care of it. Does that make sense? Okay, three people agree with me on that one, okay? Yeah. I also understand that we've got to take care of the needs of our aging facility. I think sometimes when congregations remain in the same facility for many years, in our case, we've been in this auditorium for 27 years. The rest of the building, they've been here since the Garden of Eden, okay? It's been here a long time. We can lose sight of the upkeep that is required to keep a facility in shape. And I want to stop right here, and I want to say a huge thank you. I want to say a huge thank you to the church board, present and past church boards, who care about this facility to keep it looking nice. In addition to that, I want to say thank you to Tim Mason and all those people who work with him, who are maintenance around this place, and they keep it looking right and nice. Yeah. This place doesn't look like a place that's over 27 years old. But you don't accomplish that without spending some money along the way, you understand. Today we find ourselves 5 months from concluding our capital campaign. We have $180,000 yet to come in. This now, today, becomes our target and our goal. One could ask, how are we going to reach that, Pastor? I see us reaching it three ways. Number one, making sure that all of us who made a commitment fulfill that commitment. Now, please understand, nobody's going to call you and say, this was your commitment, this is where you're at. No, that isn't going to happen. Now, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I made that commitment 2.5 years ago. I don't even remember what it was and where I'm at. You can call the church office, ask the bookkeeper, and probably within that phone call, she'll give you the answer. Secondly, I think it will happen with some of us who've made our commitments and we look back at it and say, man, I guess that wasn't as big of a commitment as I thought, and I could give some more. I've talked with one individual who's going to give $20,000 more to the project after the first of the year. So the 180 is down to 160. They've already made their commitment, but they see the benefit of it, and it's not yet paid for, and so we're going to take care of that. And the third way is, those of you who are new among us, who are worshiping with us, if you would join us in this final stretch to the finish line, on the first Sunday in May, we will have our fourth and final fruits offering. First Sunday in May, at which time I am believing we will go over the $1.5 million mark. I am believing that. Between now and then, it'd really be great if between now and the year's end, we just, and there's always strong giving towards the year's end. It's just the way it works. If we could have $60,000 come in between now and year's end, we'd take care of one of those gray leaves up there, and we'd only have one to go to finish off the project. Now, here's the purpose of today's message. The purpose of today's message is twofold, and I want to be right straight with you about it. The first purpose of today's message is to rejoice in thanksgiving over this project. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, generosity results in thanksgiving to God. When we see how generous we have all been and what we have accomplished, as you walk through your Thanksgiving week this week, give thanks to God for your church. Give thanks to God for the building project and how that's going. Give thanks to God for the faith promises to missions. Give thanks to God that this man's going to get his generator. This generosity should cause us all to be thankful to the Lord. Perfect week. The second reason for today's message is to set us on course to complete our capital campaign. And I wouldn't be bringing this message if I knew the Lord didn't say to me on Sunday morning, August 26th in Rochester, Minnesota, I drove you 700 miles and gave you only a few hours sleep to speak into your life about this, Joel. Our text, finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. Finish. The word means to accomplish to completion, to finish well, to reach one's goal. Now, someone could say, Pastor, I think it's a stretch to take Acts 20:24 and apply it to the completing of a building project. And I would agree 100%. In fact, good exegesis would not allow you to do that until you do a word study. And I find out that the word for finish here is the same word used in, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the very same word. You're right. A different context, but the very, very same word. And 2 Corinthians 8 is a passage that deals with what with God's people giving towards a project. I want us to spend the rest of our time there this morning. One of the major ministries of Paul's third missionary journey was to take up an offering from the church in Jerusalem. And hear me clearly on this. The church at Corinth made a promise to help out in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. But for whatever reason, they didn't follow through. Follow with me, please. Verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. When he says, we want you to know, I think he is really saying, I want to remind you of something you already know. What was the reminder, you ask? Well, let me give it to you in the form of a truth. The truth is, giving is a work of grace. Would you say that with me? Giving is a work of grace. Say it again. Giving is a work of grace. Do you understand something? Giving is not a part of our Adamic nature. Our Adamic nature takes. Your little 2-, 3-, 4-year-old takes. Doesn't give. Because it's a part of their Adamic nature. That's Satan's nature. John 10:10. The thief comes to what? Steal, kill, destroy, take. Satan's never given you anything. In his relationship to your life, he only takes. He doesn't give. That's good preaching, Pastor Joel. Your redemptive nature is to give. That's the nature of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. You remember that. Satanic nature takes. Giving, God's nature gives. And whenever you're ready to pat yourself on the back about what you've given, anytime you're ready to pat yourself on the back about what you've given to the Capital Campaign and to this project, you better stop and remember something. If God had not showered his grace upon you, you wouldn't be involved in it at all. Because that's the way it works. Verse 2. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. In this verse, Paul decides to motivate the Corinthians by drawing their attention to some other churches and what they are doing for the collection. He refers to the Macedonian churches. This would be three churches, one in Philippi, one in Thessalonica, and one in Berea. And here's what he says about these three churches. He says that they were in a time of great affliction, abundant, many, much, plenteous, test or trial. That was a time of pressure and tribulation and trouble. But in the middle of that, they were rich in generosity. They were abundant. They were wealthy in their liberality. I'm going to say something before we read verses 3 through 5. Verses 3 through 5 almost defy explanation. Follow along, please. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did it, not as we had expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also the completion of this act of grace on your part. Look up here, please. I know that someone could say, Pastor, how do you do that? How do you give beyond your ability to give? That's what that says. It says they gave beyond their ability to give. How do you do that, Pastor? Our third and final truth for today's message. When we release, he supplies. Would you say that with me? When we release, he supplies. Now, lest you think that I've joined the ranks of the people from Tulsa, Oklahoma, let me prove this. When we refuse to release, we cut off the supply. I'm reminded, and I once a year always give this verse to our church board, so Brother Tim would know from many years of being on the church board. We look at this verse once a year, every year. It's a basis upon which this church functions. The verse is Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And boy, do we like to quote that. Do we like to shout that? Do we like to speak that into other people's situations when they're having a tough time? My God's going to supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But have you ever stopped to put that verse in its context? You know what the context is of that verse? The people giving. You look it up. You read Philippians 4:19 towards the end of the chapter there, and you will see the context is the people were giving. And Paul says, when you are giving, when you are releasing, he does what? He supplies. How? According to his riches in Christ Jesus. The Macedonian churches were something else for this reason. There was no begging, and I want you to know there's been no begging in this capital campaign. There was no gimmickry. Oh, dear Lord, how I hate, that's too strong of a word. I have a strong feeling about offerings that have gimmicks connected with them. And I could give you illustrations. I could give you illustrations from guests that have been in this church. And that's why a numbers of years ago, I said, no more. There's one boy who takes up the offering, and it's me. Because I'm not going to stand back and watch my people get raped with gimmicks. Cannot stand it. There was also no pressure. Verse 4 says, they pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing. Look at 6 and 7. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to the completion the act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. See, the Corinthian church was an excellent church. They had a lot of faith. They had a lot of good speech and knowledge and earnestness and love. And so he says to them this. He says to them, see that you excel in this grace giving. Now look at what the word excel means. It means to be the best, to do it in excess, and to superabound. Verse 8. I'm not commanding you. You see, there's no pressure. There's no stress. There's no, you better do this or else. It doesn't exist. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. I think the bottom line of verse 8 is that at times our giving needs to pass a test. The word means to approve or to examine. So it is saying, I want to prove or examine the sincerity of your love. And I'll tell you something, friends. This journey that Christian Celebration Center has been on for the last 2.5 years has been an examination of our love. And the Lord told me very early in my kitchen this morning what I'm supposed to say to you. You're getting an A+. It's an examination of your love. It's a test of your love. And when we do that, I can almost promise you, it's going to involve sacrifice. Verse 9 reminds us of how the sincerity of our Lord's love was for us. Look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Have you ever stopped to think that in spite of the fact that Jesus had all the riches in heaven in his possession, he became poor. He became poor. Why? So that you and I could become rich. Jesus set us a biblical example of how giving is supposed to look. Look closely with me at how Jesus gave. His giving was motivated by love. He gave his best. And his giving was characterized by sacrifice. And I want to look at an entire congregation of people today and say, I see you giving the same way. Your giving has been motivated by love, not by pressure or by gimmicks, by love. You people love your church. I've had over 700 of you in my home. And the predominant message that has come from you when you've come to our home and we've talked about this is, I love my church. I love my church. I look at all of you and I say, I know you're giving your best. Donna and I gave our best. And third, yeah, it's characterized by sacrifice. That's okay. I finish with verses 10 and 11. And here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, we could say for the last 2.5 years, you were first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. I stand before you with 5 months to go in the capital campaign and say, now finish the work. Let's finish the work. These two verses have become my favorite out of the message. And I have read this before. In fact, I used this text once for a missions Faith Promise Sunday. Just listen to these two verses. So here's what I think. The best thing you can do right now is finish what you started, I'm going to say 2.5 years ago, and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it, so finish it. Once the commitment is clear, you do what you can, not what you can't. Here's this line, you've heard it before from Pastor Joel. The heart regulates the hand. My heart regulates what my hand does. Always. Always. In everything in life. And I see in that verse a scriptural equation for Christian Celebration Center as we conclude this capital campaign. And it's simply this. A willingness plus a follow-through will give us the completion of the assignment. Please be careful that you understand this. Someone says, well, I'm just willing and that's enough. No, it's a willingness plus a desire to see the job finished will bring it to completion. Now, just before we dismiss, and again, I want to say, how is this going to happen? Please understand, no pledge cards are being filled out today or next Sunday or 5 weeks from now. We've done that. We're done with that. There's no special offering being taken today. I trust you people with this message. You've heard your pastor's heart. Your pastor's heart has been, let's rejoice over what God has done and let's get in focus to complete the project. That's it. I got to tell you, that, oh goodness, it was months ago now, maybe close to a year ago. I also heard the Lord talk to me another time, Donna. Okay, she said, nice. And I know some of you are just going to croak at this, but, you know, croak, okay? The Lord told me very clearly that when this whole thing was over, we were supposed to celebrate it. We were supposed to have the biggest celebration this church has ever had in its history. So I kind of thought the celebration would be we'd rent the Great Hall, we'd have a sit-down fancy meal, and we'd have a Christian comedian or a musician or somebody come in, and we'd have a night where we'd just celebrate. I then assigned the project to Pastor Leon. Come on here, buddy. Can I tell you something about Pastor Leon? You're right. Somebody said it over here. He is a party animal. I'm telling you, if you ever get invited to a party at his house or that he is organizing, go. But go prepared to have your world rocked, okay? And so he started working on this, and then he brought it back to the staff, and I swallowed hard for a time or two, but I got on board, and the more we talk about it, I think it's really cool. And the close of this message today is to tell you about it. So, party animal, tell us what you came up with.
Well, some people like a parade, right? Yeah, yeah. And there are other people who like fairs, right? So I thought, instead of going to the Great Hall where we all would sit down and around our round tables and have a dinner and listen to someone for a little bit, I thought, you know what? This congregation, we're a young congregation.
Yeah, I am. I'm young.
We are. We're a young congregation. And
you know what? I was eating lunch the other day.
I thought I was talking.
No, this is serious. Donna will vouch for this.
Well, this is not the time for a serious
comment. Oh, okay. No, Donna will vouch for this, and so will the Prestons, because they were with us. We were having lunch at Applebee's.
Nice.
And the server... You're a brat, Leon. And the server's name was Joel, and I was congratulating him on having a real nice name, and we were talking, and I don't know how we got in, how old we were, and he said, guess how old I am. And I said, you're 28. And he said, boy, you're pretty good. You ought to go to work at the fair. I'm 29, okay? I missed it by 1 year. I looked at him and said, how old do you think I am?
Was he honest?
Do you remember what the number was? No, I just had to help her out because she didn't remember. What did the man say? How old did he think I was?
He said 47, but...
Yes!
I heard that he slipped and bumped his head a couple
Donna,
of times.
Donna, get out of here.
And I'm sure it was before the tip. Buddy, you have met your match. You have met your match, I'm telling you right now. Anyway, back to the announcement, okay? So we thought, let's have a fair.
It was before the tip.
I know.
I'm really sad about that, Leon.
I know. Truth hurts sometimes. The wounds of the friend are faithful, though. So anyway, back to the fair. So we did some calling around. We called the fairgrounds, and I discovered that the fairground is very, very busy. And it didn't look like we could even find a time to do this. Mm-hmm. In fact, we were told that it's booked. And I will tell you this, though, that there is a dog show that happens the second Sunday of May every year. It's a dog show, okay? And the day that I called, you're not going to believe this, the dog show is moving somewhere else. And come to find out, all the awards have been won by this dog named Baxter.
Oh, no!
And so they had to actually... He's a party animal. They had to move the fair because, I mean, they had to move the dog show so that they could, have other dogs have an opportunity to win.
You know what,
so
folks?
They had to take it out of the
county. You know what, folks? I had a letter come to me in the mail this week. And the letter had in the return address, Baxter Bodine. And you opened it up and there was this dog. And it basically, then there was a note written in it. Dear Riley, I understand you're eating your papa's socks. That's gross. Don't do that, Riley. Did you send that?
I didn't, but I think it's funny. I honestly did not do that. Okay, back to our day of celebration. So
yes.
We contacted the fair. They said, you need to contact the guy who brings all the rides for the Midland Fair. And I'm like, I would love to talk to that guy. Anyway, we made an arrangement with him, and he's going to bring 6 of his rides that he uses at the Midland County Fair. He's going to bring them to the fairgrounds. One will be a spectacular ride. That's a ride that kind of throws you all around. And
makes you throw up.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but that's kind of what those rides do. And then there's some family rides, and then there will be a kids ride or two, and maybe the fun slide. So anyway, we're really excited about that. Then we found a caterer. And this lady is incredible. We use her often here at the church. And we were able to get the Fair Center building at the fairgrounds. That's the building that we needed. It holds 1,000 people. And so and they'll set it up for us. They're like, we'll put the tables and we'll put the chairs up for you and we're going to be all set. And so anyway, the caterer's like, I can do that, and we'll make it fun. We'll have like 6 food stations throughout this room where they'll have Mexican, they'll have a meat table, there'll be a dessert table, there'll be a whatever. You know, we're still kind of coming up
Salad bar. Can I give a suggestion?
Yeah.
How about the French fry wagon? Could we get that there?
Well, let me tell you. Just this past week, I had a conversation with Jen Joseph, and the French fry wagon, which has the longest lines, at the Midland County Fair, they are going to be there. And everyone is going to get a ticket to get their free order of French fries. Come on. Yeah. Thank you to Jen Joseph and the French fry wagon staff, because they have been very generous
okay,
to
Leon,
our congregation.
Okay, Leon, here's the deal. Mother's Day. Why'd you schedule this on Mother's Day?
Again, the fairground is booked, And so we thought about that. In fact, we weren't going to do it because it was Mother's Day, to be honest with you. We thought that probably was not a good idea. And so someone said to me, you know what, talk to some moms. So we talked to some moms, and the more... Yeah, when I talked to them, they sat there and they did this, and they're like...
They gave you the Riley look.
Wait a minute. You're going to feed my family, you're going to entertain my kids, and we're going to have dinner, French fries, rides, maybe some games. Well, we're going to try and get Pastor Kelly out there and do a few things. Yeah. And anyway, they were like, what is there about that that I would not like? Amen.
There you go.
So then we talked about it as a staff, you know, and we were like, we're not sure what to do about that, you know, and it just seemed like, you know what, let's tell the congregation, I know some of you have family plans and all that kind of stuff. We'll move it later in the day. Maybe the rides will start. Now, we don't have a time schedule yet, but maybe we'll start them at 3 in the afternoon and have dinner starting at 5, and it would go maybe from 5 to 7. It can be a come and go. Yeah. But the most important thing that we want you to know is that if you have guests in town or if you've got your mom that you want to bring.
Come, ushers.
You guys bring your party to our party. We want your families to come.
I want to understand. I want to understand. I can call Ryan and Rochelle. I don't know that they'd make the trip, but I'll ask. They could come visit us for Mother's Day, and they can go with us to the party.
Absolutely. You just will need to get a ticket, and we'll make tickets available. Yeah. Tickets, again, are free.
One to everybody. Pass them out, guys. Guys and gals.
So there will be tickets available. You're going to get a ticket to get in for the food and for the fair, and you're going to get a ticket to go to the French fry wagon. It's all free. Yeah.
Yeah, very.
That's awesome. We would love that. We'd love to see him dunk. Hey, I see Jen Joseph back there. Wait, wave your hand. Jen, thank you for your generosity with French Fry Wagon. Yeah. So anyway, there's all kinds of stuff happening. I know I need to wrap this up because it's getting late.
And that's how I feel every Sunday, okay?
Well, if you would have just started a little earlier. But
anyway. Hey, Leon has put a lot of work in on this day. Let's show our appreciation to Pastor Leon. Good job, well done. Now, here's the deal. We're giving you a card right now to take home and put on the refrigerator, put it in your phone, however you do it. May 12th, it will be the biggest celebration in the history of this church, and you and your extended family are invited to celebrate our growing the celebration. God bless you. Have a good day.